Welcome to Songwriter Trysts, an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. To support the podcast and follow our journey, you can find us on songwritertrysts.com. Welcome to A Songwriter Tryst with Matt Ward. Thank you for joining me.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's good.
Just enjoying some muggy Queensland wet weather. How about yourself? Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from South Australia. It's clear and blue, a little bit cool, but I'm actually off to Queensland tomorrow, so I look forward to the weather clearing up, hopefully.
What are you doing in Queensland?
I'm playing Groundwater Country Music Festival over the coming weekend, so I'm very, very excited about that. So fly out tomorrow
That's
morning.
Awesome. That's very exciting. It's going to be a fantastic festival. I love Groundwater. I'm actually out of town this weekend, unfortunately, because there's so many people I'd love to go see, but it's going to be an awesome weekend.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait.
So I like to start this podcast by getting you to share a little bit about who you are and where you come from and where you grew up as well.
No worries. I grew up in South Australia and family ran a bootmaking business and then in retail for over 100 years here in South Australia. And so grew up working and around this type of store in local Norwood and in Adelaide, and eventually got into land management and wildlife management and worked across remote South Australia and various parts of Australia as well. And got into songwriting a little bit later in life. I have been taking music more seriously for the last five or so years whilst also juggling work at the same time. So that's a little bit about me and my background, yeah.
Yeah. So how does one go from coming from a very long bootmaking business and wildlife into songwriting? Like, where's the join? What happened?
I guess being on the road a lot, I listened to plenty of music, and I worked in the remote APY lands in South Australia. They love their country music and love their Slim Dusty and all the American classics as well. So driving around with traditional owners, always had to whack in some country music, and so got exposed that way a little bit. I played music as a youngster and sung a little bit, but then had a break. But in the end, I think it was actually a bit of a cliche of breaking up from a long-term relationship and thinking, oh, what do I do now? And picked up a guitar and found it quite a cathartic experience. Since then, I've been using it as an outlet for myself. And so that's probably the joining point between my background, life experiences, and then making a decision to follow music a little bit more.
There you go. They do say that a broken heart is gold for a songwriter. I've heard that one.
That's right. Yeah, well, hopefully we don't use that too often or as an excuse to write songs. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't want to have to have a broken heart, but yeah, there's a lot of good stories out there about it's about life, and life is full of ups and downs, and you can't really experience the gratitude for the ups without the downs. So
exactly right.
Got to have gratitude for all of it.
And they also say you know, if there's three common themes in country music, it's stories of the heart, stories of the road, and stories of the land as well. So I like to cover all three bases, and I think just me as a person who I am, that sort of comes naturally as well, feeling things and feeling connection to the road and travel and country as well.
Heed the early warning and paperwork's in line. Red eye spells a warning, better leave this town in time. I'm always chasing something, next year neon dream. Sometimes out of nowhere, something brings you to your knees. Crosswinds blew me to you, signaling at it right. I wouldn't have even known you if I was in Dallas tonight.
Yeah, I was actually having that conversation yesterday with another artist about, like, I love the beach. I also love just waterfalls and being in nature. And there's something about being in nature that really helps like calm my thoughts or just bring sort of a peace. I don't know if you feel that. I don't know what it is, but
everyone has their special place or special thing that nature can help. Or I guess it's all about grounding, and desert and open spaces are definitely the most grounding thing that I experience. But I was speaking to somebody the other day who just likes wind, and it doesn't matter where they are, as long as there's wind sort of blowing around, that really helps them calm down and ground as well. So, yeah, no, I think it's really, really important.
Good sensation. I don't mind wind as long as it's not on the beach. It's not too hard because it picks up the sand and it hurts.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so you started writing it as a cathartic, like a therapeutic sort of exercise. Why did you start to release it or share it with other people? Where did that happen?
I began writing songs, and a good mate of mine who had played music and guitar for all of his teenage years suggested, oh, why don't you go have a jam with my dad, because his dad lived locally but he lived interstate. And the first time I played music and heard some bass around it, and then we got another mate in and heard drums around it, and then a guitarist, it's like, okay, this is like... And it's like playing soccer with a full soccer team rather than just by yourself. And the feeling the feeling it gave me was spine-tingling. And I also just have this personality where if I start something, I have to keep going until I've gone as far as I know I can physically and emotionally and intellectually go. And so that just started.
I can relate to that. Just like I'm a bit of a dog with a bone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think with music...
But I think you need people like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise nothing would get done. So, and once music bites you in the bum, it doesn't let go. So, and then I started releasing stuff under different band names because initially I guess, surrounded myself with people I felt comfortable with, and we released some stuff which we'll never hear... We'll see the light of day, fortunately. And then, then friends saying, well, why don't you go as Matt Ward?
Yeah.
And it was at that point where I, you know, had the confidence and to reach out to other musicians to start to form something a little bit better quality. And this same friend said to me, don't forget that dreams die in comfort zones. That's where I that's where I reached out and... came out as Matt Ward, I guess, and everyone was really, really supportive. And it's like, well, no, this is my writing and my songs, and I'm really proud to have them out there. So I realised that there was lots of musicians out there really looking for original songwriters, and it's like, okay, no, this is my thing. So that was the journey to take it more seriously.
Yeah, and cutting your teeth on bands and having a jam with friends is a really like natural, easy progression. And I'm glad that you got out of your comfort zone, because I'm a big believer that, dreams do die. I mean, that's a great quote. Dreams die in the comfort zone.
That's right.
You've got to keep challenging yourself and growing.
Absolutely.
So how's it been going then? What's been your aha moment as now confident musician Matt Ward out there releasing music and performing live?
Yeah, I'd say this year, at least last 2 years, has been quite huge. I did release my first album, Heartland, and recorded that with Matt Fell, and that did really well, and that was definitely an aha moment. But also to have Matt Fell produce my album was a moment in time where I thought, okay, these are songs that can really build into radio-friendly, top-quality Australian country songs. But then I took that and... I didn't realise, but 4 or 5 months later, I was back in the studio. I didn't think that it would happen that quickly. And I was heading to...
Yeah, how comes it?
Similar people around me, friends, saying, well, get back in the studio. It's like, okay, then, no worries. And like you, dog and a bone, I just had to keep on going. But I was heading to Nashville for Americana Fest and was fortunate enough to play Sounds Australia at the Bluebird Cafe, and I reached out to a friend I had in Texas saying, do you know any good studios there? And it just so happened the studio down the road from her in Wimberley, Texas, was doing some amazing things, and reached out, and that happened. So I think all of these things were aha moments. And then probably this year, to be honest, playing Ground World or Country Music Festival was definitely a huge win for me from a touring and live performance perspective, and hopefully sets a foundation for future big festivals as well. So... those three things, I think, both my first album, then being recording in Texas and recording overseas, and now starting to get larger festivals as well.
Is this your first sort of big festival-type gig or...?
I guess the showcase at Americana Fest for Sounds Australia wasn't huge, but it was definitely a real privilege to do that. And had Australian Music Week, but that was also a showcase. But as far as, you know, the big four or five country music festivals in Australia, this is definitely the first one, yes.
Yeah, that's exciting. Okay, so you're stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a little bit.
taking my band from Adelaide with me, and they're... Yeah, fantastic bunch of musicians and good guys. So it's nice to have them around with me as well.
Yeah, that's the dream though as well, to be able to have people that you get along well with in your band and to be able to hit the road and take your music outside of your local area.
Absolutely, you know? Spot on.
Yeah. But brilliant.
It's a bit hard from South Australia because so much happens on the East Coast, so that's just one of my challenges.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just something that you overcome
if you
work out what you want to do.
Exactly right.
You just got to travel. Tell me, because you talked a bit about you doing your thing and you, as a writer, but do you co-write much? Have you done much collaboration that way?
I haven't actually. I write all my own stuff. I've done some co-writing at a writing workshop up in Nundle in New South Wales. But even then I found myself sneaking away and hiding myself and walking the property there and writing my own songs. So I'm definitely down for co-writes, happy to write for anyone, but because of, I guess, who I am and what songwriting means to me, I really enjoy the writing experience and capturing the song for what I intend it to be. So, but I probably should do more, but it's just the way that it rolls out.
Yeah, no, I like that. I can relate to that. I definitely do a lot of solo writing that is probably more vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'd say my most vulnerable songs are ones I did by myself because there's stuff there. But then I've also, I don't know, like co-writing with other people, they can bring out a whole nother level of the song that, for me, I've found those songs that I've co-written tend to be more relatable to the wider public.
Yeah, interesting.
Probably because it's had a bit of a filter. Yeah. Through some different life experience and,
That's
cool, okay.
That's true, and you can, the lyrics sometimes are less directly about you, but they're more about, they can be twisted or they can be expressed in a way that makes them relatable. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you went to Nashville and you haven't done, like, a ton of co-writing. I feel like, and when I went to Nashville, that's all anyone ever wanted to do is, everyone's got to co-write.
I think I was too busy playing and then seeing other music and probably drinking in bars.
that also happens. How did you end up at the Bluebird? Did you line up? Did you call up in the morning or were you invited to play?
Yeah, so Sounds Australia through Sounds Australia and Dope Newton put on artists there during Americana Fest for a showcase for Australian artists and they asked me to play, so that's what happened there. And was
so cool.
Yeah, was sitting between Ella Hooper and Sinead Burgess and it's like just me.
Okay.
Little old me sitting in the middle. That was pretty exciting.
Well, I feel really ashamed because I actually don't even know if I've really looked into Sounds Australia. I've heard of them, but I don't really know much about what they do. So I'm going to have to go do some research.
Absolutely.
Because that sounds really cool.
Yeah. And they do showcases pre-COVID, all around the place and for all different styles of music as well. So they're a really good support and they do something at South by Southwest and the like as well. So,
that's really cool.
Really great opportunity.
Yeah, I want to be able to do more showcases like around the world, you know, just getting songwriters out and just sharing your stuff because it's just so beautiful and it's not enough opportunities, I don't think.
That's right.
For people to do that. All right, so in this journey of break up, start writing songs, eventually release music in your own, from that whole journey that we've kind of just talked about, what would you say the best advice is that you've ever been given that's helped you take that next step?
I think definitely what I mentioned before in terms of dreams dying comfort zones. So if you want to grow as an artist, if you want to grow as a project manager, a salesperson, marketing person, all the project manager, all those things around music, you really do have to step out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's particularly so, I think, for people that are, I guess, maybe in locations that aren't quite as connected to the centre of Australian country music. So for me here in South Australia, having a more national and global focus is what has sort of stretched me and driven me out of just the local scene and having my eyes set on something larger. So that's definitely one The other one is just being, I've got a couple actually, just being true to yourself and your mm-hmm. and your art in that journey as an artist, where I started writing songs and then I went a bit more indie and a bit more alternative, but I always knew that I was writing country songs at the core. And a friend of mine said, be true to your songs and your style and what you like playing best, and then your best art will come out. And as long as you're staying true to that, that will still evolve, definitely. But that was yeah, that was really important. And probably the final one is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Both your journey as an artist and for success and getting those wins, as well as your evolution as an artist as well. It doesn't happen overnight. So yeah, those three things: dreams, die in comfort zones, be true to yourself, and it's a marathon, not a sprint.
I love that, and they're all really good quotes for people to understand in the industry, so that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What about if you could go back and maybe talk to yourself as at a younger age and give yourself one little piece of advice, what would you say to yourself?
Play guitar earlier. I played piano when I was young, and my parents, you know,
made me
do the whole classical thing, and it was rote learning back then through the pianoforte sort of school. And I came out of it, you know, understanding music, and I've got decent musicality to me, but I wish I started playing guitar earlier. But in the end, three chords and the truth, maybe it's okay.
It's definitely okay in my books anyway, because I'm the same. I started on piano, played it for years, and only picked up the guitar much, much later. But I think because, like, if you have a musical background and you have been educated in that, then you kind of you can sort of translate that a little bit into the guitar, whereas I've seen people as adults trying to learn music for the first time and it's like trying to learn another language, whereas you already know the language through your piano and you're just transferring it to another instrument.
Absolutely, yeah. So no, I think it definitely has helped. I played a gig the other day, and I had a fiddle player with me, and it was my album launch, and so I had some family there, and I could see my mum's eyes light up when the fiddle player started, because I knew she wanted me to play violin classically as well.
Yeah, my mum would have loved that too.
Little did she know that fiddle and honky-tonks were at the heart of country music. So.
There you go. All right, tell me about how your album launch went. What was the story behind your album and how's it going?
Yeah, thank you. So I started recording it in September 2019, pre-COVID, over in Texas at a studio called Yellow Dog Studios, and they're doing some amazing stuff at the moment with Colter Wall and Charlie Crockett, and people like Casey Musgraves has even recorded there. And we got four tracks down, and then I had my plane tickets to go back in March 2020, and on the 12th of March, and cancelled them a few days later, and didn't really know what I was going to do with it. And everyone adapted and pivoted so well in the music industry, well, as much as they could. And we ended up recording one song with Matt Fell in Sydney. Then I did the rest of the bed tracks remotely through Yellow Dog Studios about a year later, and then I did the vocals in Sydney with Matt Fell as well. So the album itself is called If I Was in Dallas Tonight, and it's a collection of songs which recounts travels and experiences and highs and lows of my travels between Australia and Texas. And as it turns out, the whole production ended up being a real international collaboration as well. So that's good. It's nice how the art comes together like that. And yeah, released it on the 5th of November, and then had some album release shows here in South Australia, and they were a huge success and a lot of fun. And now onto Groundwater Country Music Festival.
Feeling the high, I bet. all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I've taken a couple.
I was going to ask, there was a female singer on some of the tracks.
Yeah.
Gorgeous voice. Who's that?
That's Bonnie Montgomery, originally from Arkansas, now based in Texas. I think she might be going back to Arkansas, but I met her in Austin when I was sort of living there for a while in 2017, and She's been voted Outlaw Country Female Artist of the Year before in America, and it's also won four or five Arkansas Country Music Awards. So she was a real great friend to have, and she's been incredibly supportive of my music and myself. And she ended up singing the duet on the album and doing a few backing vocals as well. So, and she's got an incredible voice.
Yeah. I was listening, I was like, oh, who is that? And I looked up, I thought maybe it was a co-write, but it's like, nope, just written by Matt Wood. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to ask him that one. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, so if you could co-write or work with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be?
I'm going to say Casey Chambers. Yeah. I just have a huge amount of respect for Casey. Mm-hmm. She's also from South Australia originally and from the west coast of South Australia, which is an area that I've worked on, worked through a fair bit. And her journey's been a really interesting one, and she's worked incredibly hard. She's incredibly supportive of the music scene and network as well, and of young songwriters. So I just think I'd love to learn songwriting, learn from her to do some co-writes.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Okay, well, that's kind of like most of my official questions. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your album or what you're doing or what you're planning to do in the future or more shows coming up?
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, my album's out now. If you want to grab a copy, it's out on the beautiful white vinyl as well as CD. And check out my website, mattwardmusic.com, and you can download or... Sorry, you can buy one of the albums there. And then I'm heading to Tamworth Country Music Festival as well and playing a show, a bit of an album release show there in Tamworth on the Wednesday the 19th of January. So I'd love to see people there.
Nice.
And yeah,
I'll be there. So I'll come to that one. That'll be great. And we can have a proper... I think music live is always way better than the recording, even if the recording's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's just completely different. The mistakes and the personality comes through.
Oh.
I'm really looking forward to Tamworth the festival. I need a holiday and I need live music. More of it. Please, I need more. Sure. I'm really excited to see what you're doing, and I will put all of your links and everything so people can follow you however they want to follow you and listen to your music however they want to listen to it on the description of the podcast. And there'll also be a blog on the website, songwriteress.com, for people to check out and follow and connect with you any way that they can. And we've got some playlists as well on Spotify and Apple, and so I'm going to add my favourites of your music to those, so people check them out along with everyone else's. I really appreciate you coming on the show and chatting, and I look forward to seeing you live, hopefully soon at the festival. It'll be good.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Right. It's great to have a chat. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it. Take care, Matt. Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com.